This is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Hello there. If you don't know Kevin Kostelnik and Benny Wills from JoyCamp, you will today. They're the creators of JoyCamp, a YouTube channel that features their original, well-made, funny videos on a variety of dark subject matters. As Oscar Wilde said, if you want to tell people the truth, make them laugh. Otherwise, they'll kill you. Hello, Kevin and Benny. How has your day been?
It has been, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, really good, actually. Very nice.
In a good mood, nice and clear.
Yeah, it's been a good Monday. Unusually good Monday.
Nice, long, sunny day. Not too hot. Kind of cloudy, a little overcast.
All the chemtrails are out, looking good in the sky.
Actually, no chemtrails today.
There was no chemtrails today?
Chemtrails yesterday, though, all day Sunday, which was a drag.
I lose track.
Yeah, LA must get it pretty bad, huh? They spray that place down.
Yeah, it's like blankets over your head 24/7.
So I think we should start at the beginning and tell us how you two first met and how did JoyCamp begin?
Well, we met through a mutual friend named Tony, who is still a good friend of both of ours, when we were all in community college together. Tony worked with Kevin at the movie theater, and I knew Kevin, or Tony, because we did theater together, and he introduced us, and we've been friends ever since.
Wow.
And we went to school together in San Francisco for a couple years, and that's when we started making videos, I think, together, but never about truth subjects or anything like that. They were just always kind of silly.
But at the same, we were also at that time just beginning our own, I guess, dive into the abyss, so to speak, of learning and understanding the real world and real truth and all that real fun stuff.
So then you said, let's make some videos.
Well, that wasn't until years later. It wasn't until about, I guess, a year and a half ago that it finally just clicked and made sense. Like, that would be our outlet, making funny videos about really unfunny subjects.
Yeah, this is like 6 to 8 years after college, pretty much. It took a while to sort of figure it out and, like, let the light bulb go off. And then when it did, it was actually the very, very beginning of 2012 when it all sort of, everything just kind of came together organically and it just sort of took off from there. To what it is now.
Now, you've been calling what you do comedy awareness, so explain what you mean.
Well, I guess it could also be called awareness through comedy. We make funny videos. We make light of things, of issues that are not necessarily funny. And we are hoping to spread awareness through it so that people who otherwise would be afraid to deal with these subject matters can actually access it through a funny medium.
I know you've said this many times before, but where does the name JoyCamp come from?
It comes from George Orwell's 1984. Joy camps were forced labor camps in that book, and we had been tossing around a bunch of names, and Benny finally had been... We knew there might have been something in that book, 1984, and he finally just sort of said it. How about JoyCamp? And we all thought, wow, that is perfect, because it takes on the meaning of this this double meaning of a camp that has this funny name. It's a name that sounds great, but it's really a slave labor camp. So for us, it's kind of the same. You sentence people to JoyCamp, you know, so they go there and they actually, it has the reverse effect. They laugh and they gain some knowledge through it. And we're also joyful and kind of campy sometimes.
No, Kevin, you were born in 1984, right?
I was born in 1984. That's right.
I spied on your Facebook today.
Well, so did the NSA, probably.
Definitely.
Definitely, yeah.
So do you guys find some of the conspiracy crowd can be a little too serious and high-strung?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and very, very paranoid. Very paranoid. There could be real paranoid people in that community. So, and there was... there. And I found that my problem was I was getting worn out by the information I was learning and not knowing what to do with it and not necessarily wanting to be one of the guys who stands in the corner with a bullhorn yelling, but not really knowing what else to do. So I'm like trailing off. I'm trailing off.
Oh, that's great. That's why I'm having you here, so you can trail off.
I think you were on point. I think you had it.
I had it, but
you
I did. Lost it.
Now it's gone. Well, I had it and it's gone now, but there was a point in there to be made.
Yeah. What was the question?
So how about you tell us about your awakening, both of you guys, into the nature of what's really happening on this planet, if we can say that.
Well, we were very lucky that we got to pretty much do it together. That sounded funny how we got to do it together.
We just keep going.
Yeah, okay, I'm going. Cover it up. Cover it up. Yeah. We slid down the rabbit hole together. That one's not even better. Yeah. All right, hang on. We both woke up.
No, here's that. This thing called 9/11 happened.
There it
and
is.
And it was just too much. It was too ridiculous to be true, and that's sort of what snapped us both out of it. With help from a couple videos that we saw on YouTube about the Pentagon.
Yeah, it was in college too when we saw that Pentagon video, and we our minds were blown. We couldn't believe that nobody else in our dorm or school or entire state of California was running around banging on doors sharing this information, because it was so mind-blowing to us about, you know, all the holes in the 9/11 story. And we were like running up in halls, banging on neighbors' doors. We would get people to come to our apartment to check. And that was kind of the beginning of the last 10 years of our life. And we tried to share it with everybody, but luckily he and I and then a few other friends along the way kind of stuck together. And it really helps when you have someone with you to talk to them.
Sure. Stuff about. Yeah.
Took the red pill.
Yeah, we took the red pill.
Okay, so we're sticking it to the man one joke at a time. I saw that you wrote. So in your view, who is the man?
That's a good question.
Oh, man. It depends on who you're talking to, right?
It's true. It does depend on who you're talking
to. There's the forces against us.
Yeah, our predators. I like how Richard Grove and them call it our predators. There really are people out there that control a lot through means of the government and politics and money and the banks. And they don't like us. George Carlin said it best, I think. He said, it's a big club and you ain't in it. And you meaning, you know, 99 point the rest of everyone else percent. So that's probably what we mean by the man, I think.
Yeah, that's a good explanation. So what do your families think of the videos?
Ooh, that's a good question.
My parents love them. My parents are our biggest fans, I think.
Yeah, I think
so. But they're also pretty open-minded people. My mom in particular is one who kind of taught me to be an open-minded, curious person in the first place. So they both eat him up. They love him.
Yeah, his parents are cool. They're an old flower child and an old hippie.
I was going to say Californians, right?
Yeah, not born here, but yes, moved here and embraced it.
And my parents love him too. Pretty much, I think all of our families really enjoy him. That's what's so cool, because my dad and I have argued about issues. We don't see things eye to eye at all. He's a liberal Democrat. He's rooting for Obama and has been for a long time. And I realized a long time ago that I could spend the rest of my life trying to convince my dad of certain things. No matter how hard I yelled, he still wouldn't believe it, because you know what? He has his own perspective too, and that's fair. So it wasn't until like sharing a video about chemtrails that I realized it, our chemtrail video. My dad and I had fought about that, you know, screaming at each other. And then I show him this video with chemtrails, and we're pointing at the sky and making jokes, and he's laughing the whole time. And then he had a friend come over and he's like, you gotta check out this video, check it out. And that was a big epiphany I had at that moment when I saw my dad doing that, because I thought, wow, I've spent years yelling back and forth with my dad, just trying to get him to at least think about the word chemtrail. And then finally I show him a 2.5 minute video, and not only is he thinking and saying it, but he's sharing it with his friend. And I thought, wow, there's something really special about that right there.
Yeah, definitely. One of my favorite videos you guys did was the Vote for Nobody in 2012. Basically, nobody cares.
This November, don't vote for the lesser evil. Make 2012 a year of significant change. And vote for nobody. Nobody will keep election promises. Nobody will listen to your concerns. Electing nobody is the only way forward.
Nobody will help the poor and unemployed. Nobody tells the truth.
Nobody gives a.
Nobody's gonna fix your problems.
Yeah.
If nobody is elected, things will be better for everyone.
Vote for nobody.
Vote for nobody.
Vote for nobody.
Vote for nobody.
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 Vote for nobody.
I'm nobody, and I approve this message.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody really does care.
So are you both fellow anarchists?
Sadly, nobody didn't win the election.
You know, I don't really consider myself anything. I don't have a label. I mean, someone actually called me an anarchist recently at a party, and I was sort of surprised because I hadn't ever thought of that. But I suppose by certain definition, I could be described as an anarchist, but I don't identify as one.
So do you think... Yeah. Go on, sorry.
I was going to... Yeah, ditto that for me.
So you think politics are ever going to change, or is humanity constantly going to repeat the same mistakes?
I think it could change, and why not? I think if we can imagine a better place, then that better place can exist. I think. I'd like to think that, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we just have to regain some of our power and get the people who are running the show out of the picture.
I feel like it has to. It has to. You know, we could all check out of here anytime we wanted. It's bad. If you pull back and look around, it's bad, and everywhere around the world, it's bad. We could always check out, but we never do. We talk about things, and most people complain about them, but we talk them out, and you see what's going on in the world, and we could always leave, but something keeps us here. And so, yeah, I'd like to think that there is a way to change this all.
New world order, tyranny, control, pollution of our food and water. How do you both deal with these things?
Well, we make funny videos.
Through that,
we get our rocks off with joking about it. One thing we do is we distill our water every day, so we have clean water to drink.
I was going to ask about that because there's a lot of fluoride in LA, probably.
Yeah, oh, worst.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty nasty, and you know it cooks in a tank, and when I empty the tank out every morning, it's usually brown water left, like residue with some chunky stuff in it. Like, it's gross.
Yeah, it looks like a toilet.
Toilet water.
even if it's not fluoride, it is nasty.
And that's one in our body. So we distill it and get rid of that crap. That's definitely one thing we do. We go to the farmer's market nearby. We try to eat as healthy as we can. We both exercise.
And I try not to be, I try not to let, you know, understanding all this information ruin my life. Like, just because I see it doesn't mean it has to make me a worried, upset, scared person.
That's right. Because if you start to add everything up and look around, you can freak out pretty easily. And some people do. Some people lose it once they go into these topics.
And I just see it as liberation. I see understanding the world around me as liberation, and not, and it's escaping the purgatory.
Yeah, no matter how hard it is to learn about something or have your mind blown with something that you realize you've been lied to your entire life, it's still worth it in the end, because you always, I don't know, at least for me personally, my life always seems to get better whenever I have a bigger understanding of how the world works.
Yeah. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is taking antidepressant medicine and eating too much and looking forward to your TV programs.
Yeah, and not to say that balance isn't okay, because sometimes you know, like for us, sometimes we just got to get the hell out of LA and kind of unwind for a weekend or something like that. So it's good to have a little bit of balance and moderation. But, you know, if that's what your whole life is, then you might want to rethink your life.
Yeah, you guys have a video. Was it Internet Kill Switch? The logline reads, "What would happen if the internet suddenly shut off? In the shocking video, two friends are forced to face a world without the World Wide Web." And what happens in this video, guys?
That is how we described that video.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun to make.
We're making fun of ourselves too with that, because I love the internet. I love it. I need it in my life. And we need it, actually. It's our future sort of depends on the internet, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it's good to
take breaks off of the internet too, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because then you can have parties in the park with your friends and eat strawberries.
Yeah, feed strawberries to women.
I saw that. That was kind of dirty. Yeah, I notice it's a completely different world sometimes when you just hit off on all the electronics and the internet, and you don't read the news, and you just go out in the forest, and you're like, well, everything's fine out here.
Yeah.
I know. It feels so good to do that every now and then.
It doesn't take much to get to a place where there's no one else around, which I always appreciate.
That's true. We have a place in Berkeley, amongst others, but in Berkeley in particular, that we like to retreat to without that kind of stuff with a couple of buddies. We filmed out there too, but...
The lefty cesspool?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and we're the extreme left that poisons the well.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's, you know, it's a liberal haven, and we're not exactly liberals.
Yeah, it is, annoyingly so. We grew up in liberal families, you know, so in a conservative town. We both grew up in a town just outside of Los Angeles by an hour or so, very rural. You know, it's Walmarts and churches pretty much in a corner. And we grew up for the most part together, or at least for a decent amount of our lives in that area. I did for most of my life. And it's a strange way to grow up. But then you grow up sort of hating conservatives and Republicans. And then you move to a place like Silver Lake where you're filled with liberals. And then you come to just hate them just as much as
exactly. Amen. So anarchy is the place in between. Right. Just say no to everything.
When I explain it to people, I say... I spent my whole life understanding that Republicans were idiots. But now I'm at this point in my life where I look at the left and I'm like, these people are self-righteous.
They sure are.
It's their way or the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's like a new feeling to me to really understand that. So I'm even more pissed off about liberals than I am about conservatives, because I've always hated conservatives. And they lean on each other to support the fucking... I'm sorry.
Can we cuss on the government?
Yes, you can.
Oh,
to support
right.
the fucking pyramid control structure
pyramid.
Of this country. And those liberals need to snap out of it if there's going to be any hope for change.
Yeah, you assholes.
Self-righteous bastards.
Them and their damn collective utopia that doesn't exist.
And, damn straight.
And they support the system. They remain Democrats over social issues. These social issues that shouldn't be issues. Things like, I mean, honestly, women's rights in the news, like, that's a no-brainer. Women should have rights. But it's made an issue. It's kept an issue to divide the people, to have the person on this side of the street yelling at the person on the other side of the street.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. When they're actually in the same boat.
Yes.
Come on, neighbors. Wake up. Shake each other's hands.
It's true. I agree with you guys. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Well.
See, you mentioned liberals and you got us all riled up over here.
I like that. I didn't expect that because, you know, there's a lot of lefties listening to these alternative radio programs now. And
well,
they sometimes
pretty lefties.
Yeah, well, I think that liberals' hearts are in the right places.
Yes.
So then let me say that. They are in the right places. But they have to acknowledge that the people that they're putting into power are not on their side.
They're
against humanity as a whole.
Yeah.
They have to understand that. I mean, it doesn't take a fucking genius to see it.
Yeah.
Just look at the numbers. Look at the fucking... death, the blood on these people's hands. It doesn't change Republican to Democrat.
Yeah, and if you want to spend the rest of your life complaining and saying that everything is the fault of the Republicans, then nothing will ever change. And that goes the same for you, too, if you have any, the couple of Republican listeners that are out there. That goes for you, too. So you gotta shake hands. I had two family members. Not direct, but I was in an email chain copied on them, and I've always, Benny's heard this a million times, so you know, you can tune out here for a second if you want, but this is always a great metaphor for me, because I watched this email chain go back and forth between two family members, a hardcore liberal and a hardcore conservative, and it was about some whatever the news told them to talk about that week, you know, gay marriage or taxes. It was probably taxes, and they were going back and forth, and they had copied like everyone in our family on the thread. Why, I don't know, but they did. And they're going back and forth, and I'm reading and I'm reading and I'm reading these. And I thought, oh, you guys. And it made me realize that I finally sent them a message. And after, I don't know, 10 or 15 of them went back and forth, I finally wrote a little message to both of them. And I said, I've been reading your messages, and there's one thing that I found in common between the both of you. And that is that you're both blaming each other for each other's problems. You know, the Democrats are to blame for this. The Republicans are to blame for that. That was the one thing you guys can agree on, is that you're both getting screwed. So if you can kind of level the playing field and see it from that perspective, that you're screwing me and I'm screwing you, and then there's just a whole lot of people getting screwed going on, somebody is orchestrating and doing that and getting away with it. So we need each other to get out of this situation.
Yeah.
Just go on, keep fighting with each other and see how it works for you. Go ahead. Good luck.
I think the world would be a different place. Well, America certainly would if we just dismantled the government. Let's just say no government for 1 year. Sure, there would be some mayhem and craziness, but I think that generally people would be happier and they would do better and it would be a much nicer country to live in.
Well, Hollywood would tell you that they would all kill each other for 12 hours like they did in The Purge. Yeah. Good old Hollywood, that propaganda machine.
So,
which writes my checks.
Yeah, that's right. So you guys have day jobs. One of you is an actor. Both of you are actors, obviously.
Benny's an actor professionally out here in Los Angeles, and I have a job where I work from home. It's it's nice because I do a lot of the editing for JoyCamp, so and also living in LA, it's nice to work from home. So I can kind of edit and work my job simultaneously, which is good. I have another guy in our group, Nick, who is a freelance editor, and he's the other half of the editing team. And then my younger brother, Michael, he films our videos for us. So yeah, we all have our own day lives.
My main gig is as the face of Apollo for the Apollo Travel Company throughout Sweden, Norway, Finland, and Denmark.
Go Sweden.
Go Sweden. So being an actor then, Benny, isn't it difficult to take jobs with horrible scripts that promote a lot of bullshit propaganda?
Yeah, well, luckily I haven't had to face too many tough decisions yet. I mean, but then I have to ask myself, well, what's going to happen when I do, or what am I doing here in the first place? But it's just a job. It's just a business for me. This is my everyday job at this point, and I'm not making movies yet. I'm just doing advertisements and basically whatever gig I can get to pay me and fund my other work, to fund my life and to fund things I love to do. And we'll see what happens. If those times come along, then it's going to be interesting.
Well, you have a talent. You do a good job in your videos. I would tell you if I thought you sucked and were a bad actor.
Well, I'd love to make a difference through being an actor. I mean, what a huge platform it is to be a face in entertainment. And I would love to be a role model to people and to children and to be a, you know, an artist and actually spread awareness and keep doing what I do.
Now, you have a couple children in your videos. Where did you find these child actresses?
They are my nieces, actually. Ah. Rebecca is the older one. She's the one in the princess videos.
Mm-hmm.
And then her little sister, Carrie, she popped up in the princess video also. That's my little nieces, and they live not too far from us. So when the time's right, we have them come out here and we put the camera on them.
And what about the other actors in your videos? Are they keen to what you guys are really making fun of?
Yeah, for the most part, I think I've definitely earned the association with conspiracy theorists amongst my friends over the years.
Yeah.
So they know what to expect with me and with Kevin, yeah. I would say. But you know, I'm not an asshole about it. I don't shove it down people's throats. And I think most people are probably, if push came to shove, they probably agree with me on most things. But I know a lot of actors and a lot of funny people, and we like working together. So it's pretty easy to get people in these videos.
Yeah, and they see they've seen our videos, our close friends that we have in these, and they laugh and they like them. And you know, sometimes we might have a friend ask if he can be part of one, or we'll get our neighbors to be in it, or something like that. But for the most part, people are pretty hip to it, at least in our circle here that we keep close.
Yeah, no one seems to be offended by what we do, and that's one of the great things about JoyCamp. We're accessible to anybody, or most anybody,
except for that one guy who commented on the on our Oscar Best Propaganda Award video.
Mm-hmm.
he thinks we should be hung in public. Other than that guy, most people,
and it just bugs you, huh? That one comment just bugs you.
But what's great is that I can show everyone I give JoyCamp business cards out to everybody I meet in Hollywood, and everybody who sees JoyCamp likes it, if they're in the business or not, or if they're, you know, conspiracy theorists or not. It seems to be pretty well liked by people in general.
It's true. We had a meeting the other week with the digital production company, and that's out here in Hollywood, and so they actually kind of laughed, and the guy said something about how it would only take you, this is, you know, YouTube channels and whatnot. He said it only takes you about making five videos before people start commenting with Illuminati this and Illuminati that on them. And so I think it's becoming more mainstream, some of these topics. It's certainly, if you have a Facebook account and a bunch of friends that are not awake and something happens like Boston, then you see all the comments that they post. And then if you have your quote unquote conspiracy theorist friends, you see all the comments that they're sharing. You can literally like see this direct conflict happening right in front of your face between two people in different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of paints a picture, you know, of where people are at right now. So I don't know, like you have to sort of figure out for yourself what's the truth. And if you're smart, you'll do your homework and your grammar and, you know, you'll research. And I don't know if I got back to my point there, but there are several points inside of there that are all valid, hopefully.
Well, I have a question for you. Fuck the word. It's a video pointing out the versatility of the word fuck, basically. So what inspired that one?
Well, the sound bite itself inspired it.
Right.
It's we didn't come up with that, unfortunately. But what's his name? Jack Wagner?
Jack Wagner.
Jack Wagner was the voice of Disneyland. And he, before he died, sometime in the 80s, he recorded himself saying this fuck poem, I guess you could call it. And we both loved it. And I don't know, came up with a, thought it would be a fun thing to film. Thought there was a story there that could come across on the screen. So
yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
Storyboarded it and got a crew together. That was actually pre-Joy Camp, that video, but it was sort of a precursor to Joy Camp, I guess I could say.
Yeah,
kind of had a feeling of Office Space, the classic movie.
Yeah.
We did it about 1 year before Joy Camp was founded.
Right.
But it's one of my favorites that we put together.
And also, gas hole, getting screwed at the pump. Now, what is going on in that video? What is where?
Well, it's a story of one guy getting screwed at the pump.
Literally.
Well, by the way, in socialist utopia Sweden, it cost $140 to fill a small car with gas.
Oh my God.
So what do you call that? You're getting what, you know?
Getting raped.
Getting
gang raped.
Yikes.
So also you guys had, what was the video? Are you familiar with astrotheology? In the video it was Benny, right? Yeah, you're kind of flirting with a girl and like, oh, do you know what astrotheology is? Oh, I know what that is. So
very autobiographical video for me. Inspired by true events.
So let's talk about dating or socializing. Because once you get into these kinds of subject matters, and you guys are guys in Los Angeles, and I remember how the women are there. How does that go for you guys when you go into conversations with people at parties or trying to meet women?
Well, I'm single. it's you never know. It's definitely going to be a selling point with whoever my future girlfriend is. I have to be able to talk about this stuff, and I've definitely gone on a lot of dates with girls that I can't talk about bigger issues with, and it's a deal breaker, unfortunately.
He's got some really funny stories. We had more time. I think we should just film a whole series of Benny's dates.
Yeah, I want to write like a book, my Benny's world of dating. Or...
Yeah, I tell you, LA is not the ideal place. I remember, you know, I had a lot of guy friends when I lived there, and it was always the first few questions were, "What do you do? What do you drive?"
And, what do you do? That's the question.
And by the way, I'm an actress.
Yeah. And, what restaurant do you work at?
That's right.
And LA has a strange energy about it because of that, because there's so many people in the world that are coming here to this one pulse beat of where they hope to get rich and famous. They're all coming here to this area, and they come from all over. So it breeds this just terrible ego that's out here, and it just sort of engulfs everyone. So you kind of are forced to feel like you have to be doing 10 things at once all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, at least that's how I feel with all the people I meet out here. They're always doing something or having to be doing something or saying that they're doing something just to prove that they're doing something because they live out here in Los Angeles.
But that being said, I would take Los Angeles over probably 98% of this country.
Yeah, I was just going to say the flip side to that is that it keeps you motivated, you know, because when you have friends that are doing things and they're motivated, it keeps you motivated. And that's a big reason why we are able to work, you know, out here, the group that we have, because not just because of being in LA, but everybody has a sense of motivation. Whatever their perspective is on things is their own, but everybody within our circle feels motivated.
Plus, there are a lot of talented people down there. So when you need to do projects like that, it's perfect. You exactly. can find a voice actor or an actor or whatever you need. So
this is definitely not lacking in talent.
Getting them to commit, on the other hand, is more.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and having to drive out somewhere to meet somebody is also a challenge.
Because everybody here is so busy.
So did you guys go through a major lifestyle change in a way once you started waking up to some of these topics? And did you avoid places where you once visited and enjoyed? Or what about partying? I mean, what changed for you?
That's a really good question.
That is a great question. Everything, I think, changed for the most part.
You know, see, that's funny. I would say the opposite. For me, nothing really changed. I was, because it happened in the midst of college, and I was at the height of my, you know, I guess, training and education. And then I went into grad school, and so this is a nice 7-year stretch of me learning or waking up as well as going through school. So it was almost like my homework, or my extracurricular activity, I should say. So I'd do my work, and then I'd, you know, relax, quote unquote, relax by educating myself on the internet about truth. And I guess the only downside of it was that it was sort of isolating. So while I was learning all this stuff, I really wasn't able to talk about it with many people while in that social platform, that schooling environment.
Yeah, and the reason I said it changed everything for me is, I guess, just because I feel like I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now or where I'm at now if I hadn't fell down that rabbit hole and learned all the things I did. But like I said earlier, luckily it's good to have people with you. So it's because it can be very isolating. So if you have some friends with you, it'll make it all that much better.
That's true. Yeah. I notice it's hard for me to go into a bar anymore. I can't stand that. Certain movie theaters too, because you hear what people are laughing at and you're like, really? Really? Was that really funny? You know?
or they sit right next to you and they're on their phone the entire time.
Oh, like, yeah.
Hey, come on.
Yeah. Bars are traps in Los Angeles.
They're yeah,
traps.
Yeah.
Get wasted on expensive alcohol and everyone acts like an idiot.
And you pay like $20 just to get into the bar so you can pay more to drink, right?
Yeah, and then there's cops waiting outside to pull you over when you get in your car.
Jeez.
It's awesome. I got a ticket in the mail the other day because I picked up a friend in downtown LA, our friend Liam, to bring him to our apartment. And apparently I went on some Metro Fast Pass away or something that you have to have a certain pass to go on. And they just mailed me a ticket in the mail, $60. You know, there you go. So they must just send these things out all the time.
And where does all the money go?
Yeah. Great question.
To building bridges and fixing roads.
Yeah, right.
Educating young children.
Yeah, no child left behind.
Well, LA makes so much money and the roads are some of the worst. Actually, Beverly Hills has some of the worst roads in the country. So there you go.
But at least the people there are really nice.
Okay, so you guys have Conspiracy Guy Episode 2. New Age. The Conspiracy Guy takes on a couple of New Agers. So you basically shatter their beliefs. And you talk about, it's all about love, man, 2012. And then you talk about the New Age movement was started by the CIA. You know, I love that part, by the way. So how do you think the elite would benefit from us living in a New Age kind of bubble?
I think because the New Age movement makes people lazy. Makes them, and it doesn't encourage them to be proactive. It's like, if you feel good and emit love, you'll change the world. Or at least you'll contribute and it will eventually change. And it's just bullshit. It's a nice idea. I appreciate it. I can feel good. It can make me feel good. New Age spirituality, but it doesn't encourage, change, on a proactive level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love and light and all that happiness. That's all good. That's all good and well, but
you have to do something.
Yeah. You live in a reality. You can't just sit and meditate.
That's
on
right.
Everything. You have to get up and do something. And if you're doing something, hopefully creative, you know, and inspiring and educational, then you're doing good.
Yeah. Kevin, I heard when you were talking with Richard Grove, who we really enjoy too, by the way, I heard you mention the important value of creativity and staying creative. So is creativity something that helps to keep us free?
I think so. Yeah. Wholeheartedly. I do. For me personally, when I'm editing one of our videos that we filmed, it's, you know, I just lock in my station and it's such a satisfying feeling to be laughing at jokes and educating at the same time and just being creative about it. Or when you have a friend that plays a new song that he wrote for you or something and it has the same effect, it's really powerful because it captures people's attention, for one, when you're creative about it. And sometimes just handing someone a book, especially in this day and age, it's hard to get anybody to pay attention to anything. So if you're doing it creatively, you know, it's going to help a lot. And it's just inspiring. It feels good. It's something that it does for your soul, I think, you know, for your essence here. It's just good all around. And I just feel like those people we mentioned earlier are predators. They just fear creativity because they're not so in the way that we are.
Yeah.
And we use it against them. I think that's like one of our ultimate weapons.
They're creative and they're tools of control.
Yeah, that they are. They're very creative and manipulating and murdering people. But we just have to be creative on the other end of the spectrum to fight that. And we have the numbers. We certainly have the numbers. We just need people to wake up.
Yeah, it's when you're creative, you create your own reality tunnels. So then you don't get caught up in someone else's. Then you can't be manipulated as easy.
Exactly. And it feels good. It makes you feel better as a person. It grows your confidence. You know, you'll make more friends as a result from it. You'll connect with people like we're doing now as a result of it. So yeah, it's been fantastic. We were creative. We put it on the internet. And now I'm, you know, getting able to talk with, you know, I mean, I've been listening to Red Ice for years, you know, your guys' radio shows for years. And it's so cool to be sitting here talking to you. It's all a result of us doing something creative and you guys doing something creative. And bam, here we are. Look at that.
It's true. So, I know. We've connected with so many cool people that we wouldn't meet otherwise because most of the cool people just stay home. You never meet them. They never go out.
I know. That's true.
So in your guys' view, why do you think the masses have developed such ADD? I know you guys did a video making fun of the short attention span of the YouTube viewer. You basically show a pair of breasts with a countdown to 8 seconds until the bra is finally removed. Bam, attention span gone.
A pair of very LA breasts.
Yeah.
Hint.
Silicone or saline?
That's the question of the hour.
She didn't tell us.
What was the question? Sorry.
Well, in your view, why do you think the masses have developed such an ADD? It seems worse than ever.
Because we're living in the era of instant gratification, where everything is, anything's accessible at your fingertips, and people are spoiled by that, I think. And such a fast-paced world, everything is moving so fast all the time that our expectations are also fast, and we are constantly disappointed because things aren't happening as fast as we'd like them to. But why? I don't know. The technological age. It's like it all sped up at the same time.
And all the conditioning these people are brought up in, you know, they follow the suit of whoever raised them and they do the same to the people that they raised. So it's just this factory of.
but then on the flip side of that, way too many people are being diagnosed with ADD and taking bullshit medicine.
That's
that
true.
Fucks them up.
Yep.
Most of the students that I work with are ADD or ADHD.
Where do you work with students at?
At a middle school, I do arts with middle school students.
I think also another problem is that people don't take time to get into the stillness anymore. I think that's where all the power is. That's where all the answers are. But they're just going all the time. Maybe it's all the electromagnetic frequencies in the air and all the sugar in the food too.
Sugar in the coffee.
Yeah.
The speed that's encouraged.
The food we eat, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the schools that these kids go to, the teachers that they have, the system that they follow. You know, I mean, it's just a lifetime of being forced into a tiny little box. And now we're living in Orwell's era. So everything is becoming shorter, quicker, faster because we live in, you know, the information age or whatever you want to call it. And so you got things like Twitter, which people like us are sort of forced to use if we want to connect to people and help spread the information. But in turn, it's ultimately reducing language for people. It's reducing vocabulary. You're forced to write something in so many amount of words. And then you got things like Vine on the phone, which is an app where you film 7-second videos and you share those. And these things reduce people's attention spans.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's teaching them to write and speak and video things in a certain way and share them in a certain way. So the attention span in 2012, as we posted, it was 8 seconds. I mean, imagine what it'll be later. You know, it can't really get much shorter, I suppose, but it's not a good thing, I don't think. That's why I like what Rich Grove said, where he says he posted an interview. Our interview is 2 hours long. And he says, I, on the other hand, like to try to lengthen people's attention spans.
Oh, yeah. So do you think that the future is heading for more of like a cyborg human crossbreed of some kind?
Could be.
Kind of feels that way.
Certain people are definitely expecting it to go that way and hoping it goes that way, encouraging it to go that way.
Yeah, I hope not. I won't.
Hollywood is definitely getting us ready for it.
Yeah. Yep. The RFID chip and, you know, things like that. It's creepy. It's a very creepy thought. You know, we were lucky that we were born in a generation where we didn't grow up with cell phones or the internet, for that matter. I was lucky to have a childhood that was all spent outdoors, you know, playing every sport that you could play and camping with your friends and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's just different now. It's so much different now when you see kids, you know, glued to their phones and things like that.
Yeah, we'll need computers to cope with the fast pace, so that'll be just put this chip in your brain.
Yeah. Take this pill.
You can let everyone know you're washing the dishes instantly.
Yeah, exactly.
So what propaganda are you guys seeing in Hollywood movies right now? I don't know how many movies you watch, but sometimes you can pick up on trends, certain keywords or things that are being thrown in there. Like, for instance, I've been hearing a lot of "it takes a village" and a lot of making fun of those who want freedom. And there's a lot of bashing capitalism just over and over and over. What are you guys picking up on?
Good question. Well, yeah, you know, since question. LA is littered with billboards for movies and TV shows, you know, of course. And one that caught my eye the other day was the side of a bus for the movie Despicable Me 2. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Despicable Me 1, but there's a 2 now. And there are these characters called Minions, I guess. So on the side of the bus, there was an advertisement that said, "Honk if you heart Minions." And I thought that was such an interesting sentence to put on the side of a bus. Honk if you heart Minions.
So you honked, right?
Yeah, I definitely honked. I actually drove next to the bus for a while. And honked a little. Yeah.
I'm going to go
and wave everybody in the bus.
I'm going to go in my car and just start honking right now.
Yeah, but
what else do we see?
Apocalypse is definitely the subtext or the undertone. A lot of movies and TV shows.
Watch the trailer for World War Z. I think that's sort of where Hollywood's at right now with movies, and that's a very creepy movie trailer, because it's literally the majority of that trailer is just people, regular people, just getting they're just getting stampeded and trampling on each other and fighting for their lives against one another. And it's like 2-3 minutes of this. It's creepy. It's very, very creepy. So Hollywood has a lot of that going on right now.
Apocalypse. And also there's a couple movies about the White House being attacked this year, which is interesting.
Right.
And the president having to fight back. Apocalypse. That's what it seems to be in everything. Apocalypse. Post-apocalypse.
I notice a lot of the, you know, making fun of the blonde. The blonde is the villain. The blonde blue-eyed person is the evil one. Do you notice that too?
I have.
Probably, yeah. I have to think about some of the movies I've seen this year. And I've seen a few. But what else with Hollywood out here?
Apocalypse.
That's the main thing, yeah. And The Purge was all fear-based, basically. It was just all fear. That movie. That's kind of a common theme, I guess, throughout.
Oh, and also pro police and pro military. Pro police. So this movie Gangster Squad recently, and it's just a police endorsement. You may as well just be called LAPD at the end.
And you always have your superhero movies where, you know, there's don't worry, there's some force out there that will save you in the nick of time. Don't do anything. Just sit back, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
you
get some of that too.
We went on some little boat tourist cruise not too long ago, and we stop in front of some like big military ship, you know, and the captain's like, you know, "Let's applaud our troops, you know, because freedom isn't free," and everyone's applauding and cheering. I can't believe that. Like, of course it's free. It's the government that's charging all this money for it and taking over and causing all the problems.
God bless America.
It's just disgusting, the state of things, you know?
But I know.
Love and light. It's all love, baby. 2012.
Yep.
Like, I feel safer with the NSA. Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, martial law is great. That'll protect me.
So, who are some speakers you guys like to hear?
Living or
Bill Hicks?
Well, more in the alternative media lecture circuit, I guess.
Well, we pay a lot of attention to Tragedy and Hope. We pay a lot of attention to Gnostic Media, Dion Irvin. We went on a long spurt with Santos Bonacci and Astrotheology.
Oh, I love Max Egan.
Max Egan,
love,
we're big fans of.
I love Max Egan.
You guys.
I still like David Icke, too.
Me too.
And recently, I like Russell Brand.
Right, Russell Brand. We've been paying a little bit more attention to him recently. Man, I feel like there's so many. Those are some of the frequent ones that come to mind, I think.
So are you guys listening to programs every week, or how do you do it?
Pretty much, yeah. We always usually watch documentaries. We always have books sort of given to us or recommended to us.
I'm admittedly not the best listener for podcasts. Sometimes, but I'm not the best at like following certain people all the time.
See, I like to listen, so I like to put them on my iPod and go for a walk or something like that. Or when you're driving in your car here, that's another good place for it, too. I've recently been just on a kick of comedy, though. I'm sort of educating myself on a lot of these great comedians that were doing, you know, what we're attempting to do now, but years ago, and they only had a stage and a microphone. So, I feel like we have so many more tools at our disposal now. But I've been listening to a lot of Bill Hicks and Lenny Bruce lately. Bill Hicks is one of our big heroes over here.
He's great.
George Carlin is one of our big heroes too, and Dave Chappelle, amongst many, many others.
So what do you think of the state of comedy in films in the present day?
It's mainly miss, and then it's good. I mean, I really like This Is the End. And it does deal with an apocalyptic scenario, and it is produced by Hollywood, but I really got a kick out of it.
Yeah, we were.
Is that a Seth Rogen?
It is. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's pretty funny.
He shows up everywhere. He just boom on the scene. Seems like.
I know, it's crazy how that happens.
Well, if you look at his resume, he seemingly had a progression. I mean, he started off small and then worked his way through as a writer. He started writing his own projects for himself. I mean, I looked up Jonah Hill. His first role was as, I think, like clerk on some TV show. These guys did start off pretty small, I think.
Yeah. It was a funny movie, though. But other than that, I don't know. It seems kind of few and far between out there.
Yeah, it's rough. But it's also rough for just movies in general. I mean, also, the movie doesn't hit it big right away. Like, it doesn't even get a chance to stay in the theaters. I mean, things come and go so fast. I think the state of, you know, blockbusters is really poor right now.
Oh, yeah. We went to go see in the theater the other day. It was a big mistake. The Internship. Have you guys seen that?
No. Nope.
Oh, wow. Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson?
Yeah, and I used to, you know, Owen Wilson's a lot of fun, and I like Vince Vaughn, his older stuff, but now it's just always like the same routine over and over and over. They're not even acting anymore, I think. But there's some vile filth in there. You'll have to check it out. mentally vile filth.
Oh, yeah, I'll believe it.
So what other upcoming video ideas are you guys working on?
Wow. We just filmed one that I'm almost hesitant to talk about.
I know, me too. Yeah, we can tell you, it's sort of eerily.
Come on, tell us.
All right, it's on this whole Michael Hastings thing. Sort of kind of fits into the picture.
It's about. Fuck, let's just say it.
Do you guys ever wonder, like, giving out all this information? Do you ever get paranoid at times that you might, you know, you might quote unquote be taken out for doing what you're doing? Has that ever crossed your guys' mind?
It has crossed our minds here and there. And some days it's more heightened feeling like, is this going to be bad if we speak out against the government, you know? And then other days it's like, screw it. Let's just do it. Talk about it. It's better the more people know that you're doing it, that you're putting it out there, that you're being loud about it. Plus, now is the time. I mean, look at how bad the government is in America. I mean, it's a fascist dictatorship now. So it's like we have to, the individuals need to speak out. I mean, I keep asking, where are the anarchists? Where are the people that say, fire your government? Because that's what needs to happen, because the crooks are in charge. What's it going to take?
Well, that's what our video is about.
All right.
Yep, that subject.
Well, we welcome that here. I think it's refreshing to hear about that. I think we need to hear more of that right now.
Good. Yeah, we did it in a very silly way.
And we have a bunch of ideas that we haven't fleshed out. We have we want to do a fake Final Destination trailer, and another sequel to the Final Destination franchise. We're going to do something about false flags and whistleblowers and patsies. There's just so much good. There's so many good
crisis actors.
So many good issues to take on.
And that's the thing is, you know, when you're a social commentator and you're holding up a mirror to people for them to see what's going on in reality, there's always something that's going to be reflected in that mirror, because there's always a new subject to tackle every week, fortunately or unfortunately.
We really want to take on this idea of crisis actors. We have a really, what we think is a really great idea, but can't talk about it.
Crisis actors. Like, you know, in quote unquote Boston Marathon and Sandy Hook and things of that nature, you know.
Just so, the idea of it.
Just the idea, yeah. And we think it's a good one. And
I think people are ready, considering the last, you know, the Boston bombings. There were all kinds of people were talking out about it, people that usually wouldn't be saying the words false flag. So it's a good time for it.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
Yep. So yeah, we got a lot of stuff in the works, pretty much, and it's good. We filmed the one already, so we'll send that one to you. Hopefully, you know, in the next week or so when we're done editing it, and then the other ones are just all lined up and geared out, ready to go. So we should be able to bang, you know, several over the summer, which will be good. So we'll be busy.
Well, you guys aren't lazy. You guys have already put out what, 32 videos or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, but by YouTube standards, that's really slow.
Yeah.
But the quality is pretty good. You guys
you guys want subscribers. You got to put one a week.
One a week. Let them know what day you want.
We're like, God damn
Every
it.
Thursday. Send them a message.
We're putting together a library, a volume of work here.
Yeah, we want it to be good.
About a 5-second, once a week video.
Yeah, we don't like to rush. We like to make sure that everything is, that we're happy with it. You know, we like to try to perfect it as much as we can.
You guys should do something about all the gender-bending chemicals. You know, we're working on a TV show. Keep trying to finish up this thing, but we will. About the possibility of a no-sex future.
Oh.
We're all gender-neutral because all these chemicals are altering our sex, basically.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that does sound like hell.
Yikes. That's the worst state.
Yeah, brushing our teeth, washing our hair, just slathering it on there every day, you know. It's gross.
That would be awesome.
And men wonder why they can't get it up anymore, or women can't have babies, you know?
Oh, tell me about it.
It's like, well, all this money is spent on cancer research, and it's like, it's we already know what it is. It's right there. It's all this crap you're using and eating.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you use for shampoo and conditioner, then?
I buy natural stuff. Right now I'm using a product called 100% Pure. I actually interviewed the owner of the company. It's this great Japanese lady. And also Genesis. It's all natural. There's no chemicals, no preservatives, no crap. Just what nature intended. So it's really ridiculous that they add in a lot of these chemicals, because it's unnecessary. Even for makeup, for perfume oils. I mean, you can find natural alternatives to everything.
That's true. I just ordered some deodorant, natural deodorant that a friend recommended, and it's great. It's way better than the other ooze that comes out of those sticks.
Yeah, rubbing some aluminum right in there.
Yeah. I've been putting coconut oil in my armpits lately, and it's been working
great. Nice and squishy, like.
No, it's greasy for a second, but it dries, and it's nice and fresh in there.
Then he cooks after.
Yeah, then I squeeze it out.
Squeeze it down
in
the pan and
use the leftover oil.
Throw a piece of bread on there.
Yeah, nothing goes to waste. I mean, this is
yeah.
I think you stink more when you use the other chemical stuff, because your body's trying to get it out.
That's my thoughts exactly.
So, there you go. Well, thank you guys for coming on. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you for having
us. Yeah, thanks for having us.
And keep up the great work. I wish you guys both lots of success, and I hope your videos go real far and wide. And I hope you guys even maybe do a big feature film in the future.
That would be great. Yeah, the sky's the limit at this point.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. We'll come back anytime.
Great. And to everyone listening, check out the YouTube channel of The Joy Camp, and we'll also have the link attached underneath this interview. Thanks for giving us an hour of your life. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.